You know what seems to be good is the cover of the movie.
I know.
It looks like an action-packed, like you when you look at it, you're like, he's gonna ride on Santa's sleigh and hang on by like one finger while
Yeah,
he's got like a kid like on the other end, like dangling over like in New York City.
yeah, like he's gonna break Richard Dawkins's neck in this film.
Absolutely.
I was really doesn't set you up for a movie that takes place mostly in a parked car.
It looks like Santa is going to be a character. It looks like he's going to be part of the fun. You didn't think it would all be a YouTube video, but it is. That is the thing that the hallmark of like conservative YouTube that is cemented into the mise-en-scène, if you will, of Saving Christmas, is that like any like unhinged, like fucked up conservative YouTube video, it's a guy filming himself talking in his car. He just found a really elaborate way to do it. He made it a narrative. He hired a music video
He just
director.
made a visual
Oh my
podcast.
God.
Like, don't do what we're doing and say it's something else. Like, just say
Yeah.
what it is.
It's like in a parked car with the interstitial moments like of, you know, sketches. It really is the equivalent of fundamentalist Joe Rogan saying, "Jamie, can you pull that shit up?" But it's the Bible that he's pulling up.
Absolutely. Like for ref, like when they need to reference anything really hot and quick, it's Lord of the Ringsy, as he put it.
Except, is it even the Bible? I mean, we can get into this, but like some of the stuff that he's pulling out of his asshole that is being executed by Liberty University's film department's best and brightest are not even things that are widely agreed upon by biblical scholars. A lot of them are just his interpretation of how you can make anything about Jesus if you think hard enough.
It was
Yeah.
literally just one man quelling his own anxieties for like 15 years to the point where he's so confident that his Americanized celebration of Christ is totally fine. Stop
Incredible.
overthinking it.
And if you can raise $500,000 and get that Southern California mansion on one of the weekends when Brazzers isn't using it, like, fucking go for it.
Okay.
It's
Okay.
hard to find like an open weekend.
Do you really think this was Southern California? Because this screamed Nova to me. Like
Oh,
this
fuck.
screamed Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean
That.
it does. Was it from there? No, but it found a way to hit home in a really, really specific outside of DC way.
Yeah. Like for our Nova listeners, this movie does look, the inside parts of this movie, of which there are very few, did look like they were filmed in a recently vacated Tyson's Galleria store.
Yeah,
Like
100%.
this place used to sell, God, what do they even fucking sell in there? I went in there for 1 minute, got like the worst vibes of my life, and just walked right out.
Look, we'll get into Liberty University. We'll get into the socioeconomic terrain of that school and the sludge that it pushes out. But should we clap?
We should, yeah. We were so excited. We just got right into
We just wanted
it.
to save Christmas.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Belched in between every number.
That was the spirit. That was the spirit coming out of you.
Let's start with, is this a movie? Do we
No.
know? Is there a world where we could even pretend? This is, and I already said this in the chat, this is the Liberty University equivalent of the Krusty Krab training video. It literally is formatted the same way, similar narrator vibe, very little actually gleaned from watching, and I would say poorly acted, but I thought they did a pretty good job in SpongeBob. But yeah, this was like one of the most delightful pieces of garbage I've ever watched. I mean, it's, you're in good spirits while you're watching it, but it was about an hour too long, and it was only an hour and 10 minutes.
It's 50 minutes if you don't count the lists or the dance sequence. My God, it's so long.
They really honey threed it there. You just fucking on along for the ride at the end.
Really, it was so, because God, sorry, this, well, I'll get to a plot summary in a second, but it's very important that we stress there is about a 10 minute long dance sequence towards the end of this, again, hour and 10 minute film. And I watched the whole thing, and then I rewound it, and then I started fast forwarding, and you know how like a little preview window of what you're skipping pops up? It's the exact same camera setup the whole time, every time it cuts to the dance, so you're just looking at different still pictures of different people dancing.
Of the same wide.
Holy shit.
Let's answer your question. Of course this isn't a movie. Of course this isn't real. This is, I mean, we batted back and forth about what our Christmas episode was going to be. I think for a long time it was going to be Jack Frost with Michael Keaton. We talked about a couple different, like...
That hurts now to think about. That hurts so much. I wish that's what we did. Sorry.
I can't tell if I prefer this or not.
It's like, I prefer this because, wow, what a just fucking meal we're about to feast on. But also, like, I did have to watch it to do this.
thinking of maybe having had to watch Jack Frost instead makes me think of the last season of The Sopranos when they're making Cleaver and imagining this movie's relationship to Michael Keaton being pretty much like, fuck Ben Kingsley, Daniel Baldwin took him to acting school.
PJ, cut you off, I'm sorry.
No. I think I'm just trying to like justify to the listener why we went down this road.
Please,
I mean, like,
someone, yes.
I was looking for something that was gonna be like a weird like found object that we could look at and gawk at. And I had heard of Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, and I had even heard of like the other cinematic works of Kirk Cameron. Me and a whole bunch of gay people got very drunk one winter and watched his 2018 documentary Connect, which is a documentary about Kirk Cameron finding out that sometimes kids got phones. And it's less cinematic than this. It has so much more stock footage. But somehow I really thought that there was going to be like a deranged, like little weirdo narrative here. And I thought there was going to be like a movie. And I do think we got something unique. I do think we found like chick tracked, like outsider.
Yes.
Like
100%. Yes.
This is a pamphlet that someone gives you at like the MARTA station. Like this is weird.
It's so strange.
It's ramblings. No, go ahead. Chime in.
Do you think my chair broke or it's good? Which is it? Do you think it's
fine? It's
not
the same chair.
And do you think it's fine?
Becky, this can't be the same chair, can it?
Do you think it's fine? I'm just being difficult. It's my fault.
Becky, come on.
No, it's my fault. It's a good chair.
It's not your fault,
I'm
Becky.
I'm sitting too needily.
You're asking too much from God.
Before we get too much further down the line, welcome to Dead Horse.
Oh, that's also a fact, is welcome to the podcast.
We're a right-wing Christian podcast. We review movies. Sorry, Dixon, take it away.
Oh, no. I was just going to say we are a right-wing Christian podcast. We review movies.
God will not be mocked, and when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
I think the biggest difference between this and a chick tract is that chick tracts are meant to scold you for doing something in life, playing Dungeons and Dragons, being Jewish. Those two are equivalent. stop doing them, please. But this one, this like already assumes that you are down for Jesus Christ in an incredibly deep way. And the behavior that this is meant to scold you out of is being worried that Christmas is too commercialized or that like our celebrations currently don't reflect like how, you know, the Lord Christ may have wanted them to go down. And I don't, like, I am not close enough with any born-again evangelical, like, hardcore fundamental Christians to know, like, is that a type of guy? Like,
I think I think it must be. If I have met them, I don't know. I have a friend who is one, but I don't think that's a complaint. This movie is built upon the most niche complaint ever, which is that, like Dixon said, it's too commercial and it's based on, like, unholy pagan traditions. And I just really, when you look at the cover, it really does look like he is going to chew out and spit up every atheist or agnostic you've ever heard of. But he, like, lovingly leads an ultra-Christian everyman towards the sanctity of a commercial Christmas. And I didn't know. I felt like I was reading somebody's, like, personal one-on-one therapy session. Like, I did not feel like I was supposed to be watching it. I have no context religious-wise. So it was really, really not for us.
It's just so funny that the fucking It's a Wonderful Life like style of storytelling has been diluted so much that they're trying to correct is no longer like, hey, you've got something to live for, someone out there loves you, and we're like, no, Santa Claus is freaking epic, Appa Santa style. Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas is about Kirk Cameron and his sister, who he clearly fucks.
Whoa!
That's his real sister.
No, is it his real sister?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Double down.
Okay.
There is some weird energy, I'll tell you that. And it's, like, not sexual, but it's, like, very possessive.
It is extremely bizarre. And so his sister always hosts the Christmas party. And it's the best Christmas party ever. There's a big tree. Every glass of white wine is full of ice. His brother-in-law, Kirk Cameron, he plays himself, is a little worried about Christmas because he thinks it's getting too commercialized. He thinks that, like, Santa and the Christmas tree, you know, they're not in the Bible. It's her coming from paganism.
Kirk's brother-in-law, Christian.
Yes, Christian.
Christian, and if you guys don't really get that, that's because it's for the Christian viewer to watch and sort of put themselves in, like, Christian suit.
Whoa.
It's kind of fucking crazy. So when he says, listen, Christian, it's like, you can kind of sort of pretend he's talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Because you very much are the average viewer, like Darren Doan, the director of this movie, who also plays Christian.
I'm just like this guy.
And has seen, I think, one recording of 30 seconds of a UCB 101 class on a Nokia N-Gage and thinks he's, like, kind of got improv. And it's just about Kirk Cameron fucking, like, just teaching this guy that, like, no, Santa's good, Christmas trees are good, like, going absolutely ape shit on ham and butter specifically. He calls out ham and butter a lot.
He loves ham and butter.
This dude fucking loves
that
ham
butter
and butter.
Is rich as hell. I don't know.
This is somehow not a lot, not a movie, not an hour and a half, and yet There's so much fucking going on. I do think it's relevant to say that this came out in November 2014. And Kirk Cameron, who a bunch of our listeners probably already know, was like a teen heartthrob sitcom star who was on the show Growing Pains, and he got capital S saved before that show was off the air. Because if I had to guess, I would say nothing would make you believe in Satan quite like being a sitcom star during the 80s, but what do I know?
I would love a shot. I'd give anything for the chance.
We used to be a country, a proper country.
Listen, I tried, and now I'm slumming it on a podcast. he became, like a big figure for, like, the evangelical right's, like, desperate attempt to have some sort of foothold in media, in culture. And he started making documentaries like this one with this guy Darren Doan. Beg pardon. Beg pardon. He does have movies that call themselves documentaries. Liberty University helped out with a lot of them. The guy who directed this is a guy named Darren Doan. He directed, like, Blink 182 videos, early Blink 182 videos in the 90s. He did Damn It. He did Eminem's. I forget which the one is with Alyssa Milano, but he did that one. He did some Jason Mraz videos. And all of it culminated into this little fucking artifact of a moment in conservatism right in between Mitt Romney and Donald Trump. And I guess this was designed to, like, be really salivating to an audience of, like, right-wing evangelicals. I mean, this was crazy profitable for them. This made $2 million on a $500,000 budget.
Oh, my God.
It really is amazing, the snapshot of American conservatism that it is, because, I mean, like, I'm not trying to imply that it once used to be, like, this noble institution or anything like that. But, like, there is a scene in which two characters exchange conspiracy theories, and it's clearly meant to be, like, they're being so silly.
Yes.
And, like, that's just, like, what conservatism, like, mainstream conservatism is now, as opposed to, like, in 2014, where it was like, no, we're actively making an effort to destroy children and stuff because we're, like, smart and cool.
Yeah, and this was very anti-fear-mongery. Like, this was very much, like, hopeful and full of love. Like, this was a very happy tale told, yeah, which is just really stark contrast to today's conservatism, which, I mean, it's unrecognizable, essentially, but...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's much more of a quiet part, quiet movie.
Yes.
Like, the horrifying, dangerous behaviors and ideas are there, and you can
but
perceive them.
But they're secret.
Yeah.
And that's nice. I like that. I really want to, because we did a micro summary, but I really want to break down what this movie's compartments look like, because it is so fucking weird.
Oh my God.
It's not a movie. So we start off we open to the movie and we're getting a Kirk Cameron fireside chat, and we're getting it in a McMansion with a 18-foot tall tree, and he has so many vague phrases of like who's against Christmas, which is like something I've never, as an agnostic and atheist, something I've never really heard, is people truly be against Christmas. People are just against it in like a corporate sense, like but yeah, so he's just like very talking about these vague adversaries, and but it's like really weird fireside chat. Then we get into
normcore Ozymandias. Nova supervillain Kirk Cameron sipping his hot chocolate.
Yo, with the hot chocolate, he can't fucking live without hot chocolate. Every goddamn hour of this guy's life is worth the fucking hot chocolate.
I love the fire. I love all the kids. I love the spiders. I love the teeth. He names parts of Christmas that he loves, and then he just like... He just wound him up a little too much.
He's just naming nouns, and you're like, I don't think that's related to what the holiday is.
I love the music. I love the sights. I love how I am, and I love how it is around me. I love how I'm affected. I love what I see. I love what I can't stop seeing.
So we get fireside chat. Cut to... full on Passion of the Christ vibes. Like, we are immersed in like this really uncomfortable, grim, heartfelt, supposed to be sort of like imagery of like Christ, or I think we come to find that ends up being Saint Nicholas or something.
Yes.
But it's like that sort of vibe, which he, as I said before, describes as Lord of the Ringsy. Then cut to Ska Silent Night
with Liberty University presents.
We've got Ska Silent Night with what looks like an animation of the nativity scene that someone filmed off of someone else's desktop. There was like a weird shadow, and someone was like, dude, just film this. Like, it'll look totally fine. Like, I have no way to send it to you. Like, I don't have enough room.
Yeah, like, just somebody in 2004 who is trying to tell you about this video on albino black sheep to watch, but not yes. understanding how to copy and paste a link.
Literally, yes. And then we get to this, like, very strange, generic, narrative-less sort of Christmas party that Kirk's at. We see his sister, who looks like she had a horrible, extremely rough night the night before. Listen, I'm not trying to be a dick, but she looks so rough. Like, they just said she's stressed because it's her party.
Yeah.
No, say it. I want you to say it. I don't want to be the only one.
I don't want to. It is much less to do with her appearance than it is her absolutely unholy vibe. This is a defeated woman.
100%.
This is a woman who's done a scratch off every day of her life and has only ever won enough money to buy another scratch off.
But she lives in a Nova McMansion, and she is having the raddest party of all time. The entire church is at her party. And then Kirk sees her husband really glum. So then they go to the car and they talk for about 50 minutes. This is the whole movie, you guys. The whole movie is them in the car. I cannot stress this enough. This is a movie about two men talking in a car. And it's about, you know, one man convincing the other man that Christmas actually does fucking rule, and it actually is it's the shit. cut between different scenes of, like, really, you know, people who tried acting one time in this film at various periods in history. And then at the very end, after Christian is convinced that Christmas actually does fucking slap, then they go dance it out for about 15 minutes. And that is the entire movie. And I just, like, needed to break it down so everyone understands why this isn't a movie, because there's no story besides the teaching. So imagine, like, I almost said Big Fish, but that's not right.
You're thinking of the Sky opening.
Okay, true. Anyway, yeah, you're I just had
real big Sermon on the Mount.
Also, Kirk Cameron is Candace Cameron's sibling, so that's something to think about.
That rules.
Who's Candace Cameron?
The one from Full House. She also is, like, pretty problematic. She's, like, she's, like, the sort of 90s Hollywood has been who's like, listen, I'm gonna tell it how it is, and I actually did vote for Trump, that kind of thing. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain I'm right.
She's an extremely Jesus-y former child star.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird family, weird media empire.
Perfect cinema, though.
Perfect cinema. Liberty University presents Big Fish. There's, as Becky was kind of indicating, most of the movie is a conversation in this car where Kirk Cameron, just from the vibe of it, appears to be talking Christian out of shooting up a mall.
Yes!
Because although his big, complaint is that nothing at this Christmas party actually serves Christ, is actually connected in any meaningful way to the teachings of the Bible, it feels like fucking Taxi Driver. This guy has the most loud, potent Capital Riot energy in this, like, Taxi Driver way, but all of the scenes have this very forced, like, we saw an Apatow movie once, like comedic rhythms and pacing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, he's fucking Taxi Driver. Have you ever seen what a 44 Magnum will do to an elf's smile? I don't know. But the fucking, they'll cut back between the car where, first of all, should we just say, I think Christian actually has, like, a completely defensible point. Like if you are religious, if you are really, really into the teachings of the Bible, I could actually wrap my head around someone raising an objection to the complete centering of Santa Claus and of a lot of the traditions.
Totally. Yeah,
that have been secularized being meaningless. Kirk is here to walk. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, like, I think the last thing he says before Kirk goes epic mode on him is he says something along the lines of, like, I look at all the gifts and I think, how many children could we have fed? How many wells could we have dug? And, you know, that's, like, if a great, like, you're point. Yeah, like, you're a concerned Christian and you're, yeah, no, like, you're, yeah, that's fucking,
he's true and it's good.
And Kirk just starts fucking making this,
you're wrong,
like, 30-layer tea cake of complete condescension at this dude being like, maybe we could have fed some kids.
Well, that is the thing that seems to tip him off. Like, that's the thing that makes it. His whole point is that all of the surface-level Christmas shit that we already want to do is already serving God. And he goes through that by three main points. And this is why I accidentally called it a documentary. Because this is what, like, Christian documentaries actually look like, is some stuff that's supposed to look like a period piece, and is, like, Christopher Nolan, Lord of the Rings inspired, but, like, fan film executed, depictions of the Nativity and of the original Saint Nicholas. The three points in this movie's essay are that the Nativity is, what was Christian's argument, that the Nativity isn't connected to Jesus? I might have misunderstood that one. That trees aren't a pagan symbol and they're connected to Jesus, and that Santa Claus beat people up for God. What were you gonna say?
I can't remember. It was Christians
that snow globes suck. It was literally,
finally someone says it.
It was literally like, I've been thinking this for 20 years. He finally put words to
just
it.
Finally, you get into his parked car and he says snow globes fucking suck, and too late you realize the garage door is closed.
He's created his own little snow globe.
Just fucking Kirk Cameron's sister getting the emails from the opening of Midsommar.
Imagine that lady being like, Kirk, Christian, where are you? And she opens the door and it's just clouds. That's less likely than the very real possibility, which is like, Kirk gets into the car and Christian is just like brandishing a gun and is just looking at it with like ogle eyes. And he's like, you know those kids in there? To see that horrible dance they were doing? We should say, Kirk is describing the kind of person who might not be into Christmas and how all of the traditions seem ridiculous to him. Cut to Christian, who is looking at children dancing as though he wants to kill them. And when we see his POV, children are dancing in slow motion through a green filter while the royalty-free scary music that they found plays over it. By the way, they put Mr. Royalty-Free Music's children through fucking college. Oh yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Royalty Freeze boy.
That's why they were dancing so much.
Oh my god.
Christian is described by his wife to Kirk. This is sort of the hook of the movie, if you will. As he's just not into Christmas this year. And I was like, ooh, do we have some big questions? You know, like, is he questioning God? And he's like, no, like, he's, like, really sure about God. He's just not sure about his wife's party. That's truly the whole movie. But it was snow globes. I think. That's, like, not even a joke. It's just a great point I'm making. He was not into snow globes, and Kirk was like, you gotta remember the swaddling cloth. That shit is actually super important. And then at the end of this, like, long thing about the nativity, he's like, damn, I didn't even think about the swaddling cloth.
Oh my god.
Thank you.
The look on his face, the astonished look, when we go through an entire thing about the swaddling cloth under Jesus being in the tomb when he's resurrected, and we cut back to Christian in an out-of-focus, like, profile close-up, and his jaw is on the floor. He can't believe how much truth Kirk Cameron is dropping on him.
Kirk just made fire in front of him with the swaddling cloth.
Why didn't you just say that before? Why didn't you just tell me about the swaddling cloth? Because that's what makes this like a Jehovah's Witness pamphlet, is that Kirk Cameron imagines that all that needs to happen is if he explains this to someone, they'll just go, oh my god, that's such a good point.
It's like, and after every one of these little interludes, like, Christian War is a point, Kirk Cameron will refute it with this, like, you know, cut to some Lord of the Rings influence, like, little snippet. Christian will have this, like, little improv-y bit where he's so blown away that's done at, like, the speed of, if Kevin McAllister was using the device that he fooled the people over the phone with by replaying his own voice slowed down, but he was recording Kendall Roy, like, the swaddling cloth, I this was one of the many moments where, if you were my boss and you're listening to this parody satire, I did this in Minecraft, but I watched this, like, while I was, like, at work, And, like, this was one of the 3 or 4 points at which I started Googling to try to figure out how much I was being paid, like, per minute of this.
His riffs are, yeah, dynamite. It can't be stressed how long they are. I think his riffs made up about 15 minutes of the 50-minute car scene. And they were all... none of them were funny, but also none of them did anything except either express sarcasm or actual disbelief. And it was just like... I thought maybe they found this guy. And they were like... And Kirk was like, this fucking guy knows how to do improv. Like, he's so funny. But it makes so much more sense that it's this guy's movie.
Oh, totally. And the rhythms that he has in the car once Christian is, like, a little bit further moved away from wanting to, like, shoot up a school. And he's in, like, funny Christian mode.
But the good old way he, like, his normal self that we all
exactly.
love.
Exactly. The Christian we all know and love. What he's doing is fundamentally, like, what conservative and Christian stand-up comedy is. Like, a movie that I almost recommended to us that has a very similar, like, message as this movie, Christmas with a capital C. There's a guy in that named Brad Stein who's, like, a right-wing Christian stand-up comic who, like this movie and like anything approved by the Dove Foundation, exists solely so that, like, really traumatizing Bible Belt parents can be like, see? We have stand-up comedy, too, except the stand-up comedy is a guy going, listen, I got some word that people are trying to kill some babies. I didn't get the memo that that was okay. Last I checked, that's not in the freaking Bible. Newsflash, not cool. Okay? Like, all of it is just, like, rephrasing things that they believe with, like... And the guy who's been doing this a lot is Jim Brewer, who is my favorite stand-up comedian. He's the reason I do what I do. He's the reason I got into comedy. Is that he just kind of goes up there and just says shit in silly voices. So Christian is in the car, and he's like, Christmas tree at the nativity scene? Check the internet for that one. Maybe it was in Leviticus. I don't read a lot of Leviticus. And underneath it, like, Mr. and Mrs. Royalty Freeze, funny violin plucks .mp3 is just, like, blowing out the speakers. The standard, like, funny character on, like, a crime procedural music, that bloom, 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 boom, ding, ding.
Like, honestly, basically, he needed 2 pigtails and, like, quirky goth makeup, and then it would have made so much more sense. He needed just, like, a laptop and some wires and to be in the back of the van. And I would have been like, actually, that makes a lot of sense.
And it's so funny because, like we're saying, this guy's version of improvisation is, like, aired on TV, knocked up, heard through a cup attached to another cup by a string. But Kirk Cameron is just going, no, 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 no.
Yeah, as a scene partner, I wouldn't want to be up there with Kirk.
Oh, you wouldn't?
I wouldn't feel so safe with him. I'd be like, we're on the moon. And he'd be like, no, we're with Christ. In your mother-in-law's house.
It's that fucking 30 Rock cutaway where... We're Liz and Jen are improvising, and Liz goes, I sure love French fried potatoes, and Jen goes, no you don't, Oprah.
Oh my god, I'm remembering so much shit that we, who knows if we actually will have time to cover everything in this movie, even knowing that our episode is going to be longer than Kirk Cameron saving Christmas. We haven't even talked about the moment during the party where what's his fucking name, Christian, meets, I guess, an office coworker of his named DeAndre, played by an extremely charismatic guy named, oh my god, David Shannon, I think is his name. The guy who plays Christian, he is too charismatic to be in this movie, and I could not find any legal record of him existing outside of the IMDb for this movie.
I wasn't into him personally.
Really?
Yeah, I found him to be too... I found him, whatever magical sparkle he may have, I felt like all of his, you know, white artistic higher-ups were like, do that thing, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It just felt, like, so two-dimensional. And, like, maybe he's super great, but I found that he was, you know, relying on one shtick that absolutely they were like, that's what you need to do. I don't know. Do you know exactly what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. They give him a very long, fast-talking, like, monologue, where he is clearly improvising. We should say he is the one black person in the entire movie who gets dialogue.
Yes.
And all of the responsibility of humor in the movie has been put on this guy to occasionally reference, like, things that they say in Baptist churches.
Yes.
But our introduction to him is that he tries to talk to Christian about Crazy Shirt Fridays, but he's talking too fast.
It's quick.
And so the music dips out and Christmas music just starts playing over it as we're to kind of gather that Christian is dissociating and thinking of buildings in Washington that he'd like to riot, and just places where they're keeping adrenochrome. The entire joke is that he cannot be bothered to listen to this guy because he is too upset about Santa Claus and Christmas trees and now they're everywhere. And
I just can't we pause? Can you,
Becky? He's so angry about them.
It's like,
last I checked, those aren't in freaking Leviticus.
It's just like he really is too upset about Santa and Christmas trees to listen to his friend, whose name is Darren Doan, by the way.
Yeah. Wait, I thought Darren Doan was Christian.
No. Wait, am I dumb?
Yeah, Darren Doan is Christian. David Shannon?
Yes.
Is his friend.
Oh, excuse me, dumb.
You're
it's
fine.
Just like, I was just thinking about ornaments and, like, what do they stand for?
Fucking candy canes.
Elf worship. My man says elf worship in this film. So there's so much to pick apart in every one of the vignettes that Kirk takes us to say, no, this is actually all good. None of them, I believe, actually cite the Bible. They're all just related back to Jesus in the same style as, like, the, when you search Pixar shared universe, like, the 10th result down. Like, that's the kind of level of tenuous connections they're making. And I think the first point in which I cry laughed was when they were talking about why Christmas trees are actually, like, for Christ.
Oh my god.
And they relate it to Adam plucking the fruit off of a tree. Trees are coming up, symbolism. But Kirk says, Adam stole the fruit from the tree. Now, when you steal something, you have to give it back. But he couldn't do that because he already ate it.
And it was a part of him.
The logic is sound as fuck. I wrote Jesus is apple, so that was my big takeaway.
Yeah, and that's what they're like. So then later on when Jesus shows up, he has to put the fruit back by getting up on a cross, which is tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this is what sermons are like.
I know.
This is what lots and lots of sermons are, and like biblical explanations and biblical interpretations are actually like. And this is kind of one of the things that makes Kirk Cameron like an interesting like figure to me, because he is so genuinely serious about going to church regularly. I've got some familiarity with this because I had a very intense like right-wing Catholic upbringing, which might be a shock for a second and then think about it for two more seconds, but if I can ask, and if you don't want to go into it on the pod, then I'll fucking cut this out, but did y'all have like even remotely religious upbringings at all? Did any of it stick?
I went to church some as like a child. But at a certain point, and I can't remember how or why the objection was raised, but I think eventually we were just like, we had enough authority, and, you know, we were like 8 or something. We were just like, we don't want to go. And, like, I think that was just kind of it. Like, we didn't want to do it anymore, and they're like, okay. They just sort of let us develop our own relationship with it, which mine is complicated, but I don't need to go into that right now.
Yeah, that's really cool. I have similar in that I was allowed to sort of figure this out myself, which was super easy. That's really easy to do as a little girl, is to just sort of figure that out on your own and just think those big thoughts and just go to school and come back home. But my dad is his main passion is atheism in the insufferable Richard Dawkins way. In the, I'm going to like comment on this like harmless, I'm sorry, I'm roasting my dad.
Go on.
Get his ass.
On this, like, harmless Christian woman's, like, just, like, you know, a good thing happened to her, and she says, like, praise God at the end, and then he'll just come out of nowhere, like, hasn't spoken to her in decades, and he'll be like, or was that science? You know, like, that kind of thing. Just, like, in, like, if he was our age, you'd be like, ugh, like, I don't want to start this with you. But, and so, and my mom is a born-again Christian, so it's really cool. It's really easy to live in my home, and I like it. and holidays are, everybody feels the same about what they mean.
Well, none of them can stand elf worship.
No, not a one. And that's a universal, like, I can't. Every boyfriend I've ever had, they're like, what's his take on elves?
You at the door saying, cover up your elf necklace.
I told you not to wear that, David. I have a complicated relationship with it as well. I would say, like, pretty comfortably, I am not any kind of religious. I've had a lot of, with that kind of background, like, a lot of pain that comes with trying to figure this thing out, both in my childhood and my adulthood. But I've come to feel really more comfortable as of late. And I do want to stress, and I was thinking about this, like, earlier when we were sort of, like, laughing like three smug fucks, that, like, there are a lot of really amazing, really cool spiritual people and friends of mine, and Christians specifically, that, like, are wonderful, like, incredible human beings. While the tenets of Christianity may be laughable to me, I can't help that that's the case sometimes. I do have a lot of respect for, like, the amazing Christians, any amazing Christian I may come into contact with. Because I think there's amazing people in every kind of religion. I just don't want to, you know, put all Christians on blast. That's, I don't think, what we stand for or our vibe in general, because it's kind of gross to me. But I do need to put this kind of media on blast, because it is garbage, and, like, I don't know what else to do. But, yeah.
That was really beautifully put. I just want to say
that was really great. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'm glad that worked out.
No, I feel a lot of the same tension of, like, it's not that I'm worried that I would be, like, punching down on Christians, because I've gone through my crisis of faith into agnosticism, through functional atheism, to knowing enough, like, people of faith and Christian people in my life who, like, walk the walk, who, like, apply the teachings and seem to have been better from it and try to better the lives of people around them from it.
Absolutely.
They're certainly not like politically a monolith. In the last couple of years, like we've really seen a much more visible and vocal presence from like socialist Catholics. You know
what
I mean?
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
And like, I know so many like cool, queer, lefty, like religious people in my life who have this really cool relationship with God that I like.
Yeah.
Find myself having like dare I say a little bit of
jealousy?
Of envy.
Yeah,
yes.
100%.
No, 100 fucking percent.
It pisses me off and I hate them. Wait, let's go back. I love them and I'm just jealous.
but this movie has something both a lot more specific underneath it and also just like within the weird personality of like Kirk Cameron with his CamFam Studios logo that appears to the sounds of a gun clicking. The biggest like Tim Heidecker vibes I have gotten in anything we've watched for Dead
Absolutely.
Wars.
Yeah.
Every part
yeah.
of it, really.
I was just thinking about how, while we were talking about how we don't want to be and don't view ourselves as like the kind of just like, the kind of guy whose like eyes would perk up from underneath the brim of his trilby when he hears somebody go "bless you" to someone who just sneezed. But like this movie is kind of like that like cesspool Reddit atheist's conception of what a like evangelical film is. You know,
yeah.
Like it really, it kind of does seem like just mirror. Richard Dawkins, like Richard Dawkins with a goatee.
Oh, I totally
Star
agree.
Trek episode.
It's bizarre. I want to be clear. I'm not defending this film by any means.
I didn't think you were.
I only want to sort of like soften the wake of like our harsh jokes and words because, you know, it is a larger critique of something we don't believe in, but I guess I just wanted to establish like a general respect, but I absolutely agree. I mean, I can't help but look at these genuine attempts at art and just find them cartoonish and embarrassing. So like I don't know what else to do. Like that's just how I mean, because it is.
And that's the thing, is that like they're so, this doesn't feel like slick or streamlined. It feels so impassioned, and I've got to get the message out. And the only way I know how to do that is to talk to my friend in a parked car for an hour.
Holy fucking shit.
It's just such a weird message, though. As a Christian nowadays, it's a weird message to saving Christmas. I mean, his argument is that there's nothing to save, like it's already good. So it's just really interesting that like you have what was it, $500,000, and like this is the cause you're how often is this happening, you know? Like I just find this like such a weird, it's such a weird film to make and such a weird journey to have gone on. Like I feel like there are so many more pressing issues like in the Christian sector. I don't know.
Yeah.
Liberty University is mainly like a like an online like degree factory for like the rich fail kids of like Republicans in Virginia, but like they do seem to have a quasi reputable like film program. Like the actual technical work of camera work, editing, coloring, this stuff is, you know, I mean that's a field that has like plenty of right wingers working within it, because that's a lot of that is about making fucking machines work. And yeah, you know, if you have a school like Liberty University that has a lot of like dark money funding, yeah, you can get some nice like red cameras in there and teach people how to use them. And there are things in like the technical packaging of this that are slick, but fundamentally like do not have like a spirit or a sense of like pacing underneath them.
Well, there's a pacing, but it's like a 30-minute mile. It's a pacing, well, but
it's a pace. It's not a good one, but go ahead.
That is actually That's a great way of putting it, PJ, because there is this strange dichotomy of, like, the soullessness of the technical aspects of this versus the intensely misguided soulfulness of the people in front of the camera. Yes. And the story they're trying to convey.
Yes, it makes it so uncomfortable to watch.
Because the editing in this movie, I'm not sure I've ever seen a piece of art more devoid of life. Like, oh my God. Is this what people who complain about abstract art feel when they look at Rothko and are just like, it's just colors? Because, like, that's how I fucking feel watching this movie. Is just like, they're like, I do feel that, like, same sort of untrue base, like, my 5-year-old could do this, that, like, people say when they're watching, when they're looking at some incredible piece of abstract or modern art. Like, I don't know.
It's literally just regular cuts and then, like, 30 minutes of slow-mo. You're right. It's nothing is different or interesting or artistic. It's literally just cut, 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 and then just, like, close-ups of people dancing in slow-mo. Or just his wife looking at him with disbelief about 8 times with an unchanging face.
What the fuck is going on with this woman? What was she told to do? You forget about her entirely, and then it cuts to her, and she is looking at whatever they just cut away from with, like, all the despair of, like, opening the door and, you know, your son is away at war. You open the door and there is a sergeant there in full dress holding a folded American flag. Like,
and that's after her husband, after being pep talked into believing that Christmas rules, he comes in and, of course, he belly dives down into the presents. And that's what she scowls at for about 8 different shots. Like, truly, like, they cut in between other things, and he's still just going slow-mo on the belly, and she's still scowling, and, like, he gets up, and she's still scowling, and he looks at her, and she's scowling, and you're just like, damn, like, she didn't like the belly stuff.
The director told her, quick, honey, imagine an unprofessional hairstyle.
Quick, imagine not having an inch of visible roots.
Imagine you did your hair today instead of yesterday. Does that help you? Bridget?
Bridget. That is a real Bridget haircut. Oh, it's a league past a Karen.
Oh, God.
Bridget, you've got to imagine a sweater with even perceptible yarn.
I tried to find a photo of the scowl that, like, this is when I first cried laughing.
We'll post it on the Instagram.
And this is, yeah. And this is, like, in between all these shots of the slow-mo, because we got the final dance banger at the end, you know? And it is Gloria, right?
Okay.
Yeah, right. Gloria.
Okay.
But it's hip-hop, and it's fun, it's cool. And there is, like, it's like, help me put this into words, Peach, how they put In Excelsis Deo.
It's filtered through the 2010s so many times, that it sounds like it's in pain.
And they're so far away.
Goddamn. They took this pretty hymn and they turned it into, like, an LMFAO song. And the hip hop group that they got is, one presumes, like, the hip hop dance crew at Liberty University, which naturally is 5 people, 4 white women, one non-white guy who is just loving conversion therapy, doing flips throughout the breakdance. And it is, I, We don't have time to unpack the Liberty University hip hop dance crew on here. We don't have time. I need to read 80 books before I feel like I can unpack the amount of shit going on here.
And I saw you staying while you're looking at Bridget, who literally like was just time traveling back from 1932, and she cannot feed her children.
Or like she's like going to a graveyard to visit like her mom's plot, and like you catch her right at the moment where she realizes the plot is empty and someone's stolen the body. Like that's her fucking face. Peggy, I did want to say, I told PJ this already, but I got back to the computer first during our break, and I started playing the In Excelsis Deo dance scene from the movie, and it prompted a pop-up I have never gotten before in Zoom that said, set up professional audio in audio settings.
It said, don't play this. It said, don't play this, please.
It said, I actually can't be a part of something with such poor quality.
Oh, my friend.
It was, like, so naggy. Like, the song is like, you have Christmas here.
Yeah, it's just sounded like a Red Foo of LMFAO, like reminding his nephew of something to pick up as he's leaving the door.
I want to dig into this a little bit, because when we landed on this 2014 theatrically released movie about what we assumed that it was about, like, quote unquote, the war on Christmas, and about like liberal atheists cracking down on the sanctity of the holiday and trying to wipe it away, which was a thing that, like, Bill O'Reilly was really beating the drum on throughout, like, certainly the Bush years. It was like a big, like, early 2000s thing, because, like, conservative media needs to find little blind items where it can, where, like, if one person got asked to take down a manger once, that actually means that Christians everywhere are under attack, that their way of life is trying to be taken and pulled away, and therefore you need to commit five times harder and consent to the Iraq war. but this is something that's actually, like, way... it's somehow more harmless than that, and also, like, way more fucked up, is that this is a movie about how all of the commercial shit that you wanted to do is actually already in the service of God. Because with the fucking, the war on Christmas thing is baffling to me, because they don't have an issue with the commercialization of Christmas. They don't have an issue with a religious holiday being commodified and sold in any store that you have to go to pick up, like, diapers or like bottled water. Their issue is that the commercialization isn't being branded properly with the God that they worship. What Kirk Cameron is arguing here, however, though, is that you don't need to change anything. Santa Claus, the Christmas tree, ornaments,
your hairstylist.
If you stretch your mind, something that either had pagan origins or had barely anything to do with God in the first place, but especially, and this is the thing that I'm obsessed with, is buying presents and eating food. As far as Kirk Cameron is concerned, and this is where it goes full prosperity doctrine, is that don't listen to any naysayers who tell you that, like, buying shit and, like, eating buttered ham is not worship. Don't let them spoil the fun, because that's the real enemy here, is someone telling you to do something differently. Someone telling you that your way of life might be, like, a little bit commercial and a little bit gross, and that your mode of consumption might not be godly. This is like, this actually, in its weird way, maybe this is tinfoil hat. This does kind of feel like it is the wheels being greased for like godless, fuck God, it's all about saying fuck you mode of conservatism that Trump is all about, which is I don't want to not eat meat. I don't want to turn the fucking lights down. I don't want to feel bad about any of the shit that I'm doing. I want to eat my fucking Stouffer's macaroni. I don't want my fucking way of life to change. And fuck you for trying to challenge it. Me and my family are eating our fucking lasagna. And fuck you for bothering a hungry dog when he's eating.
Don't you tell me I can't put a $4.5 million down payment on a McMansion that looks like they made a house out of the Bang Bus.
Did you see that they had two fridges?
Yeah, they did. They had two fridges and a wine fridge.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, why do they have a wine fridge if they're just going to put fucking ice in it? It's going to get cold.
Becky, you had a point.
Yeah, it's like, it's interesting because I really like that take and I think it makes a lot of sense, but that is not at all the vibe I got. Like, when I'm watching it, it is so much more aimless and passive and delusionally euphoric. Like, I did not get any kind of, like, I did not get, like, things are changing and that makes me, like, want to protect it. It really felt like this very condescending, completely confident, hey, sport, let's have a chat because I know that you're having second thoughts because you love Jesus too much in this season of your life. Like, I love that take that, and I honestly, like, if you break it down, that is probably what it is, but it's ironic to me or interesting to me that that might have been, like, the underbelly of it, but it came off so harmless,
wishy-washy,
yeah, and yeah, like, and just bizarre, like the whole thing, like what you just described would be a, such a more interesting movie. Like, it would just have such like such more of a heart and like a goal and like a passion, but this was more like a relax, just like take another hit of Exodus and like we're good. Like, I don't
good
know
save.
It just seemed so good-natured.
It's, it is, I think I'm somewhere in between the two of you, where I think this exists as, like, a really specific document, like, that is sort of being torn between these two, different ways of looking at what needs changing and what doesn't in American conservatism. And it is, for me, the most interesting part of it politically was, like, the through lines in conservatism that, like, haven't changed, and but they're just, like, much more Mormonly expressed in this movie. This movie has incredible Mormon energy for something that is,
so helpful to describe the tone of it. It's like golden retriever Mormon with a twin, like a touch of condescension and like, you know, just bad shots.
I'm just trying to eat dinner with my freaking family. All this fighting isn't good for our kids.
I was at a party once, and, you know, a bunch of people had beers and stuff, but a couple of people came over to the party who just wrapped up with their Mormon, like, mission thing. I forget where they were, what exactly they were doing, but somebody who I knew who, like, has a good heart and was, like, incredibly, like, obviously joking, like, to the two Mormons was just like, hey, man, want a beer? And, like, the look on his face when he made that joke, just this instant, like, smile, because I know I'm supposed to think this is a joke, but just this incredible, like, you don't know how much this fucking means just be like in his eyes. Like that was the kind of dichotomy captured for me in this movie. One of the funnier through lines for me was how little conservatives care about hypocrisy. That has always rankled me when you know, liberals, leftists, whomever, you know, not misguidedly trying to call out right-wing folks on hypocrisy specifically, because they just don't give a shit. Because in the opening fireside chat, Kirk Cameron was saying, there are some people out there who says, like, it's fine what you're doing. Just, like, don't do it too much in public. And he's just talking about Christmas, though. So brazenly, like, yeah, they don't give a shit.
It's time to come out of the closet as a person who likes Christmas.
It was so vague, too. It was like, some people... You know, they don't want you to be loud about it. They're like, just keep it inside. And then other people. And then so it's like he vaguely talks about atheists and vaguely talks about ultra Christians who think it's blaspheming to do it the American way. But then they only deal with ultra Christians in this film, which is really weird.
I think like also part of it is I do think just from what little I know about him, Kirk Cameron... I think this kind of gives a little more credence to what PJ was saying, really rolls with the tide of conservatism, because I think this more like kind of aw shucks, it's okay what we're doing attitude was more I don't know how to pronounce this, but de rigueur. But like more the general observable mindset of mainstream conservatives. So much so that they actually, like I said, had a scene making fun of conspiracy theories, specifically making fun of, like, war on Christmas paranoia.
Yeah.
Like, they have a little riff where somebody is like, oh, yeah, there's a war on Christmas, and they're keeping all the Christmas stuff in Area 52. And then, like, in 2020, Kirk Cameron was like, yeah, I don't know. COVID, it just seems like we're missing something here. I just don't think it can just be like a disease, you know? I think there's something going on here. So, like, it seems that he really just kind of, like, follows the particular narrative that's being constructed in the moment. Not necessarily... I don't think this is a document of, like, who he is at all times.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a really good point. I'm sure he thought this was necessary... This was a necessary thing coming up, like, in ministry that was, like, an issue, maybe. So he was, like, impelled in this season of his life, maybe.
That seems right. And that seems like what's undergirding a lot of Kirk Cameron's documentaries and movies and all of his output.
Which makes them so timeless.
Absolutely. No, but I mean, he's got a lot of this stuff that seems like it was just, like, stuff that was on Kirk's mind that week, where he was like, this stuff that these kids are doing, it's we gotta make a documentary about it. I bet we could make a real movie. I mean, I know this guy Darren Doan. He directed the video for Damn It. Please don't tell anyone I said that, but it was for Blink-182. We gotta get the word out. Again, I keep coming back to that documentary Connect, where there are just all these shots of him, like, interviewing a dad whose, like, kids used a phone. And Kirk is just standing there with his arms crossed with, like, this look of astonishment. But also, like, we gotta do something about this. As a dad is just looking at him being like, and then, yeah, I tell you, I found out they had a Facebook. They had all kinds of friends that I didn't even know about. And Kirk is like, that's incredible. We gotta get the word out. You know, like, these are things that seem, like, very important to him. And I guess someone in, like, the Falwell circle at Liberty University was like, yeah, just keep Kirk busy. Just throw him a couple. What's $500,000 between war criminals? You know what I mean? I guess it's that, like, I don't know. Dixon, you bring up the COVID stuff with Kirk Cameron in 2020. He was specifically in California. There was some ordinance about how Hey there, PJ here. Quick editorial note. California issued stay-at-home orders and mask mandates in December 2020 when COVID was surging, and Kirk Cameron organized two protests of them where, I can't believe I left out the funniest detail, they were caroling protests. Anyway, where were we? Because the thrust of his protest was, they're really trying to tell us, they're really trying to tell our kids that church is non-essential. And it doesn't seem right to me. So what we need to do, we need to get everyone in town who believes that church is essential and get COVID together. And then he made some comments about Trump that were approving, but they were only in this sort of I've never seen Christians get excited like this. I mean, it's like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, it's crazy, this stuff that's going on. And I think about Kirk, this naive golden retriever doofus of a guy who just can't believe that kids are using phones and has to put out a documentary that is 45% Shutterstock by weight. Okay. Kirk being led down into anti-mask stuff seems like it has a lot to do with the common ground that he has with the fuck you conservatives is stop telling me to not go to church. Stop telling me to put on a mask. Stop telling me what to do. And if you're telling me that materialism is an affront to God, well, we need a material symbol of his love. So if you fucking think about it, dude, I just think, I don't know. I think there is a certain brand of right winger that really just does not like being told that they can't do things or that their way of life might not be sustainable. And that makes it so fucking interesting that this movie is not addressing liberals or atheists. It is looking at Christian audiences and saying hey, I know you might have this conscience. I know you might have this little voice inside of you that says that this stuff is vulgar, that says that this stuff is pointless, that says that the way that we consume as a hobby, as an identity, as a lifestyle, we know you might kind of think that something in the world order has to change at some point, or might even be counter to these values that you keep noticing is buried within some of the pages of this book. But what I need you to know is shut the fuck up. My family and I are trying to grill.
It really is. I just want to grill for God's sake.
I just want to grill for God's sake.
That's beautiful, Peach. That really does connect the dots for me. And now I rescind my vote in the harmless direction, and it feels much more harmful in this context.
For me, I think it's just I don't think of 2014 as much of an observable aesthetic and attitude. I think that's just because, I was already pretty much an adult in it, and I'm not far away from it. Right. Far away from it enough. I think, obviously 20 years down the line, I'll be like, ooh, we were doing that. But I think the biggest disconnect for me is looking at this guy who I don't think is comfortable being seen as a grifter try to lead a conservative contingent. And I'm not trying to make the argument that is less harmful. There are all sorts of insidious and terrible things done in the name of aw shucks Bible thumping, obviously, but just how dramatic the shift between no, I'm doing this out of love for God to eat shit happened, that this seems a fucking period piece almost, because this guy doesn't think he's Harold Hill. He thinks he's honestly teaching these kids how to play in a marching band.
Yeah, it's like, I totally see what you're saying. I think it's like, now I see the through line in terms of, like, him wanting a stasis.
Yes.
And I like very much what you said, Peach, of like, hey, Christians, you know that nagging feeling that this is rotten and bad? Forget it, honey. It's all good. Open your PlayStation. Like, I really like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. In terms of, like...
Open your PlayStation. We're going to watch you play Grand Theft Auto to make sure you obey the traffic rules.
It's the only way I learn. It's like, I can see how a part of it is part of his, like, id, you know? But I also see what you're saying, Dixon, in that this is, does feel quite different from where he's come, in that, like... It, something about it does feel very genuine in his efforts to spread joy. Like, that does, I would say at the heart of it, Saving Christmas is truly about getting people to relax and, like, find joy. Like, that is what it feels like. Like,
fuck. That's, like, that's an incredible way of putting it, because, like, that is actually the case, because if you just boil it down to that essential, like, hey, it's all good, it doesn't sound that bad, but when it's like, no, Santa existed and he was cool because he beat heretics with a stick.
Bad.
And then it's him, like, whooping ass to dubstep.
Cut to 5 minutes of tape recording Kendall Roy go, Santa was the man. I'm thinking Santa's the man.
I love that hypocrisy so much, where it's like, he beat the shit out of people in the name of Jesus, and that's why he rules. And I'm like, but you guys said don't hit.
I mean, like, they also center it on, like, political correctness. Like, they're really quick to try to compare Santa beating the shit out of a guy for saying, we're not sure if Jesus was, like, 100%, like, equal to God the Father, or is he, like, an offshoot of God the Father? Is he, what part of the Trinity is he? And St. Nicholas just fucking went beast mode on him for it. No, I mean,
I felt like I was being truly educated as someone who never went to church, and I was like, oh, I didn't know they ever had that angle on Santa.
You were just like Christian. You were just like, whoa, I can't believe I never thought of it that way.
Kirk Cameron. And Santa went wild for the night. Frick being polite.
Frick being polite. I wish he'd said frick a little bit more. I think a lot of these people, especially like the youth group types at like a mega church or something like that, which is really Kirk Cameron's scene, is like mega churches and like youth groups. He has heavy youth pastor energy.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. The big thing that they're trying to sell you on isn't even the salvation of Christ.
No.
They're trying to sell you on their existence being fun. They're trying to sell you on the idea that you're not missing out on anything by becoming like a devout, like, warrior for Christ in the model of like Liberty University training champions for Christ since 1971. That doing that is that you're not missing out. That you can butter your fucking ham. I love the fire. I love the kids. I love the presidents. I love doing the worm with Liberty University's hip hop crew. But here's the problem. I think that's kind of what this movie is trying to sell, is like, yeah, we can love the Bible and have a freaking blast. Now check out this party. Don't you want to be here? But the answer is no. No one wants to go to this party. It looks like a fucking drag.
No. It's like, it's really just one middle-aged white guy's sort of love letter to
Ham.
To Virginia malls. Like, it's I don't know. I really had a lot of fun laughing at this movie is my big takeaway. I cried laughing like 3 times.
Wait, I think, okay, it seems like we're kind of going towards the end. And so I want to tie everything back to something I said earlier. The last couple shots were what made me think he was fucking his sister. Because the movie ends with Kirk Cameron's voiceover going, and things have improved a little bit. And it cuts to his sister looking vaguely satisfied for the first time in apparently her waking life. And cuts to Kirk giving this, like, 3-second long wink to her. Like, the kind of, like, if it were 2 eyes closing, it'd be like, oh, my cat is trying to tell me he loves me, but it's just 1.
Yeah. It's a really good, powerful moment.
We barely said anything about Kirk the actor in this movie strolling around the McMansion being like, hey, everyone, time for hot chocolate. I'm the hot chocolate guy. He's just like, he's straining so hard to be the most, like, aw shucks Wonder Bread guy in the entire world that you're just like, god damn, dude, are you the pool boy that Jerry Falwell Jr. was, like, paying to fuck his wife while he filmed? Like, what's your secret?
I forgot about that.
Are you
one.
The fucking pool boy? That is what happened, right?
Name a more iconic throuple than them three.
Yeah. Now the Falwells are dating Pete Davidson.
Name a more iconic throuple. How about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
And Santa. Fuck, that's a good one.
Santa, trees, and the swaddling cloth.
Ham, butter.
Ham, butter, the kids. He's listing the things that he loves about Christmas, and he says, I love all the kids.
I love all the kids.
We have to put them in a box starting in January. I'm so excited when it's Christmas time and we can bring the kids back out.
In the name of the ham, the butter, and the kids.
It's the reason for the season.
It was also so funny that Christian, what really set Christian off to have a bad Christmas season was one little girl who wanted a present.
That
you remember
fucking
that?
Bitch.
That
yes.
was the story. That was like the anecdote was like a little girl was like, I want that. And he was just like, oh, you make me sick. And I was like,
just walking into the mirror to do the you talking to me speech.
Like, well, she is like 5, no?
He talks about this little girl wanting a present that he knows is going to be landfill one day, as though he's Phoebe Cates talking about, like, her father getting stuck in the chimney. He talks about it like Will Smith talking about the robot that didn't save the little girl. Like, this is the origin of how he just became this, like, this fucked up, like, Slim Jim eating fucking Punisher that just looks like a weird thing about Christian is that he looks like heterosexual Tony Kushner, but also, like heterosexual Tony Kushner's war journal. Like he's just ticking down the days until he, like, shoots the mayor.
Sorry, heterosexual Tony Kushner turned my head a full 360 degrees like the X. It's not really fucking...
Okay, and then also, do y'all remember when... Oh, fuck. Do y'all remember when...
Wait, is this a Family Guy episode?
Do y'all remember when Bridget...
It's like that time Kirk Cameron talked about the butter.
Do you guys remember when Bridget... Okay, firstly, it just must be stated, like, the whole hook of the thing is, like, this guy's not feeling Christmas. And, like, Kirk makes it, like, a big old deal. He makes it a big stink. When his wife was like, yeah, he's just not really feeling Christmas. Like, she did not give a shit in the beginning of the movie. And then he comes in, and Kirk's like, you gotta own it. Say, I messed up. You know? I...
What did he say? He said, I need to...
I was wrong. I blew it. When no one cared, he was just out moping in the car. So anyway, he comes in. He sees his scowling wife for what feels like 8 hours of her scowl. He apologizes to her. And then he says, I got something for you, or something like that. And she goes, what do you have in mind, Big Papa?
How did I forget about
that? Why did they do that? They didn't have to do the Big Papa stuff.
This is worse than the time my brother-in-law told me that Santa Claus didn't have swag.
Whoa! How long have you been good at that?
Yeah, how long have you been good at that, Big Papa?
She makes an overture to her husband, and just for one second, the thought of, like, a married couple wanting to fuck each other is, like, a breath of fresh air in the middle of this movie. Oh, he's gonna flip her scowl and hit her bowels.
You couldn't see, but when this was being filmed... Kirk Cameron was looking at it in Video Village and just was like, huh, and started putting on more sweaters.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we should really... We're at, I believe, four times the length
something
of...
Something like that. This is our last Dead Horse episode for the year. We started a podcast this year, and we finished it out.
That's fucking true. The
year, not the podcast.
Right.
Darn
it's
it.
Crazy though that it has been a year. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I'm glad we could end it on a celebration of fascism.
I'm so glad we didn't end on Freebirds. Holy
I'm
shit!
So,
I'm so fucking glad.
I'm so glad we didn't end on cynical Freebirds, and we ended on the earnestness of ham, butter, and the kids. Three things I stand by. Timeless, really.
In terms of, like, my psychological EKG, this was such a big bounce. Like, when I hit Freebird, it was just like the fucking... Like, if you were watching the value of Dogecoin while Elon Musk was hosting SNL, like, that was what that did to my fucking...
I hope everyone listening really celebrates the birth of Christ.
Me too.
This year. I really hope they don't fuck around. I hope they don't skimp on presents.
Remember that God created the winter solstice, firstly. And then secondly, remember that when you look at all the presents... from the ground floor, when you're laying on the ground and on your belly and you're looking at all the presents under the tree, remember to think of a future Jerusalem. You gotta think about Jerusalem. Look at the shapes, and they're like buildings of Jerusalem, and that is also in the movie.
With the little 500 days of summer lines drawing all over the fucking present to turn it into a skyline.
It's just his architecture sketchings of the future of Jerusalem that really made her run.
It's so fucking funny. It's like the drawing is like of the same quality as when Uma Thurman goes, a square in Pulp Fiction.
You know, when you think about it, technically, Jesus wrote the Quran.
Okay, I got to go.
That was worse than the time Jesus wrote the Quran.
So I couldn't fucking do it.
You know what they say, Holy Spirit is the best spirit, and the best spirit is the Holy Spirit. Well, that must be my spirit.
I'm going to need somebody to come talk to me in a parked car for an hour after this.
I'm so glad my sister married you. This is awesome.
Dead Horse is hosted and produced by Becky Granger, Dixon Cashwell, and PJ Audenzia. We'd like to thank Max Huffman for our art, so go to his website at maxhuffman.com and check out his book Cover Not Final. To follow us on social media, check us out at Dead Horse Podcast on Instagram and at Dead Horse The Pod on Twitter. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review and tell us about a government building where you like to go and erect illegal nativity scenes. For me, it's the post office. They fucking hate when you do that shit. Whatever time of year you're listening to this, we hope you're as well as you can be right now. It's a cold world. Stay warm and take care. Oh, and get ready for Dead Horse 2. Next season coming at you soon, baby. Get fucked.